Almost a decade ago, commentator Marion Winnick's husband, Tony, died. Adjusting to the loss can still be tough at times, but she has two boys who are very much alive, and in them lives her husband and their father's presence.
The other night, as I watched my 14-year-old son sleep, resting my gaze for some minutes on the contours of his nose and lips, I had the sensation I was looking at his father, that sleeping inside that draped scaffolding of bone and flesh was not the boy, but the man who died almost 9 years ago. It seemed for a moment that Tony, not Hayes, would awaken. I spent a great deal of time watching Tony sleep during the 11 years of our life together, especially in the early days when I was simply too excited to close my eyes. His sleeping face became a code for what I loved about him, his beauty, his sensuality, his boyishness. In the last chaotic years of a marriage caught in a hurricane of misfortune and mistakes, I could still watch him sleep, on a deck chair in our backyard, or on a hospice pillow, and those peaceful classical contours would still touch the source of it all in me. Now those same facial angles are code for something else, for genetic code, for the echoes and imprints of Tony in his sons. He died when Hayes was 6 and Vince 4, but it is so clear that his mark goes deeper than their accessible memories or even their preverbal ones. They say now that there are genes that control thrill-seeking, impatience, various aspects of sexuality. I also believe there is a gene that inclines one to favor clothing with designer labels, the rearranging of hair in bathroom mirrors, a gene that can make one almost sphinx-like in social settings, yet warm and easy around babies. I expect to discover many other specialized genes over the years, and as many mixed blessings. The code I see in Hayes' face is his complex inheritance from his father, and the tenderness and trepidation it inspires in me. It is code now for loving this boy. It is astonishing how gone a person is who dies. And part of the adjustment to the loss really comes down to making yourself believe this unimaginable departure has occurred. But once you accomplish that, once you believe they will not be pulling up in the car or sitting down for dinner or leaving a message on the answering machine, once you believe they truly are gone, you have a new challenge. You have to deal with how present they are. What I saw the other night is that the lines of Tony's face are not lost to me, nor are they only inside me. They are actually here. This may be as much afterlife as we have, certainly as much as I can let myself believe in. Like so much of our human reality, it is a simple, physical thing, embroidered in a thousand layers by our consciousness, our wishes, and our dreams.
Marion Winnick lives in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania.